Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
Good to see you there, GMC. Is that one? How many nicknames you got?
Too many, man. Too many.
What's the one you hear most of the time?
G-Mac.
G-Mac?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. A lot of different nicknames around that locker room.
Yeah.
Well, BP's Brian Price. Give me some. Give me some off the top of your head. Nicknames. Come on. You got to be known in that locker room by now.
Wood.
Yep.
Which is Adam Hayward. Of course, BP's Brian Price. Big Beige is Roy Miller. Killer is Kyle Moore. You can't really call Styles anything because he...
He's already got one.
He changed his name to Styles.
That says it all.
You know, Josh Freeman, we just call him Free.
Yep.
Of course, Cadillac is called Lack. Everybody knows K2.
You got a lot of them. He's got a lot of them. Yeah.
There's a bunch of them.
All right. It is officially the Gerald McCoy Show. I won't call you GMC or GMAC or anything like that. Tell later on in our business relationship here, then I'll feel comfortable enough to call you that. How you feeling, man? Three games under your belt in the NFL. You're almost a full month of the season underway. I mean, how you feeling physically and all that? You
doing all right. My body feels good, man. It's all, like I said, either last week, I'm sure it was. It's all about recovery. And I've been recovering, so I'm feeling good.
All right. Well, coming into last week, you know, you're a 2-0 team. I used the word litmus test when describing the game before we got into the Pittsburgh Steeler game. And going in, is there a big difference between the Cleveland O-line, the Panther O-line, and the Steeler O-line? Or is it just minute differences?
Well, I mean, it's really about the – I wouldn't say it's really a big difference in between Carolina and Pittsburgh. They really like to run the ball, both of them. So they kind of block the same. The difference in Carolina and
Cleveland, or clear Carolina and Pittsburgh.
Carolina and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. The splits are a lot bigger, and Pittsburgh's splits are a lot bigger than Carolina's. Carolina runs their double teams a little different. Carolina's double teams are a beast, and we got them all game. We didn't really get many double teams against Pittsburgh. But their lines are pretty similar.
You've been in ball games that went your way and snowballed in the right direction, and you've been in ball games that when you looked up on the scoreboard in mid-second quarter and you're trailing by three touchdowns, the things kind of happened fast there in the first half for you guys, you think?
Yeah, they did. One of those things where the game didn't actually get out of our hands until late, but, I mean, before you knew it, they had, 28 points?
You know what's funny is, it was 28-6 at the half. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the first quarter, Pittsburgh had 2 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? At the end of the half, Pittsburgh had 67 yards rushing. Okay? That was the end of the half. It was 28-6, but this was the Charlie Batch-led Pittsburgh Steelers, and they ended up hurting us through the air, and we didn't expect that out of Charlie Batch now, did we?
No, we didn't. But there was a lot of things that could have been eliminated.
Give me a couple.
Cody Graham just lost the ball. It isn't like, the new guy came in and couldn't handle it. No, it wasn't like that. He just lost the ball. I mean, that happens to veterans. If you lose the ball, you just lose the ball. Was he in position? Yeah, of course he was. Do we wish he would have made it? Of course we do. But he was in position. You can't blame the guy for that. He just lost the ball.
Same thing with Aqib.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally hit his hands.
Yeah, hit his hands. He just lost it. I mean, these guys are in position. And those two plays right there, it takes away two touchdowns. And who knows what happens then.
Head coach actually talked about Cody. We'll talk about him here in a sec. But, you know, there's a difference. Let's say he bites. That was a play-action pass. Let's say he bites and runs towards the line of scrimmage and Mike Wallace is 50 yards behind him. Then I'd tell you that Cody Graham didn't look too good on that.
Right.
But he was in position. He was where he needed to be on the field.
Yeah, and to be honest, that play, I talked to my position coach and I put that play on my back.
Okay.
Because I beat my man on my pass rush. I beat him, but my coach was talking to me all week, you got to dip your shoulder. You have to dip your shoulder when you turn the corner. And I did not dip my shoulder. And right as soon as I was about to sack him, I got pushed by because I did not dip my shoulder.
Body lean.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's one of the things Sapp told me. He texted me after the game. He said, hey, young fella. The swim move is for the beach.
That's sounds what he, like, sounds yeah. like him.
He texted me and said, swim moves for the beach. Had to get you pushed by every time. In this league, you got to rip. And I brought my arm over the top instead of ripping. And he was right. It got me washed by.
Well, you know, I've been watching Sue up in Detroit, but you guys were, you know, when you played at college, you guys were allowed to play a little more upright. You could physically outman the guy that were playing. You could probably just kind of grab him by his shoulder pads, move him aside. Because I remember watching Sue play, and his pad, he was standing straight up half the time.
Yeah.
I mean, literally standing straight up. You're not going to get away with that in the NFL. So is that something that it's of, I think, more of like the more you do it, the more you do it, the more
right.
you do it.
You
eventually,
get,
it's just – and then you get the muscle memory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got to get your pads down. And then, I mean, like you said, it's muscle memory. After a while, it just comes habit, and it just becomes so natural. That's why you see the veterans who are great players, they stay great players because it's just natural to them. After they do it for so long, after they finally figure it out, they do it, and it just becomes so natural.
That's Gerald McCoy. It's the Gerald McCoy Show. We're here every Tuesday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll load up those phones, get as many callers as we get to. We want to be caller heavy all season long, give you, the Buck fan, a chance to talk to your players. I see him in the locker room. I get a chance to chat with him all day, all long. This is your show. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS. Jerry's back in the studio locking and loading you and getting you ready. You know, what's it like for you to not that Sapp is talking to you constantly and texting you constantly, but it's almost like having an extra coach lying around somewhere.
Right. And, you know, one of the greatest interior defensive linemen ever. It's great to hear his viewpoint and how he said he would have done it, because from his career, how he would have done it most likely would have worked. So it's kind of good to hear that from him.
When you get a chance, I'm sure somewhere in NFL in this building, you can go on a computer in a defensive line room and dial up a whole bunch of things you want to see. Right, you just kind of put your request in and bring it up if you want to study film. In other words,
right.
All right, is it possible for you to go back and look at Sapp's first year?
No,
just to see that. In other words, you're where he is was can, at that year. You know, can, that kind of thing.
You can clearly see from his first year to his second year, where his first year he had 3.5 sacks, to his second year he had 9. And, you know, most people think it's a little weird that I know this, but he went from 3.5 to 9, if I'm not mistaken, to 10.5 to 16.5. So clearly, something he was figuring out started to become natural to him, and he worked on it and worked on it until it went up and up and up, and he goes 3.5, 9, 10, Pro Bowl. 16.5, player of the year. I mean, he just learned it, and he was such a great player, so to have somebody like that talking to me, it's great.
It says something about his dedication, too,
right.
Because in that second year, you know that offensive coordinator starting a game plan for him.
Right.
When you're making a Pro Bowl, you know you're going to be looking at double teams.
Definitely.
And then by the time you get to 16 sacks, you probably got a running back chipping on you in every play, too.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, you guys are down 28-6 at the half. This is the first, you know, adversity you guys have faced this year, basically. You pretty much handled Cleveland in the second half, and you were all over the Carolina Panthers. What was the mood in the locker room at the halftime?
Oh, nobody's head was down. Mm-hmm. Nobody's head was down, man. That game wasn't over. All we had to do, if we came out immediately and scored, we were right back in the game. That's how we were thinking. You know, we let them get up on us. No different than the Cleveland game. You know, we let them get up on us, but we came back out second half and played very well and won the game. The first two games, our defense, what we were doing was we were playing better as the game went on. So in the second half, we came out and made a lot of big stops. So knowing we've done that, you know, we were thinking to ourselves, this game isn't over. Let's just come out and play better.
As a matter of fact, the only touchdown the Steelers had in the second half was a defensive score on a tip ball.
Right.
So again, I know you lost the game, but when you're looking to build on things, that's three in a row, and three halves of football in the second half of all three games, you guys have not allowed a touchdown.
See?
Regardless of the score.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff you're trying to build on, is it not? But
yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people, everybody wants to look, they got beat pretty bad. Let's look at the positive things. Everybody wants to look at the negative. We don't look at the negative. We look at the positive, what we can take from it. We grade ourselves very critically. We grade ourselves, and we're very critical with our grades, but we also take the positive from the game and build on that. And don't, you know, just worry about the negative.
How did you what did you take from it? What did you take from that game? Other than you said the pad level on that one play. Anything, right. Anything else?
Yeah. But one thing I'm starting to realize with me and offensive linemen in the league, my advantage and what I truly believe is one of the reasons Tampa drafted me is because of my athleticism in space against an offensive lineman who really will, I mean, they can't handle my athleticism in space. So I need to realize real early, I need to stay on an edge. I have to stay on an edge.
Give me a dumb it down a little bit for me.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
There was a play in the game where we were playing, we were playing Pittsburgh. There was a play in the game where it was a four-man rush. What happened was –
were you under tackle? Where were you playing
that? I was – yes.
Okay, go
ahead.
I was
at three technique. Yep. And what happened was the nose guard got a double team. They chipped on Kyle Moore, and me and Styles White had our one-on-ones. Okay, Styles came out. He did a speed rush chop, and he slid in the grass. So he slipped. Me, I came for an inside move, but the guard set on it. Instead of staying going high, if I go up the field, Styles can plant and come underneath and cover me up. So
basically, you're covering his gap. He's covering yours.
Right. Well, we cover each other.
Yeah,
we cover each other. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about my position is I have the freedom to do what I want. I have the two-way go. But instead of using the two-way go, I tried to bull rush the man. And I tried to bull rush a 330-pound lineman who can anchor. And I pushed him back, but after he went back for so long, he stopped moving instead of picking an edge.
It's like a tractor pull.
Yeah.
It gets going real good, and then it kind of bogs down.
So yeah. I have to use my advantages, you know.
What'd you think of the Pittsburgh O-line guys? Sometimes I'm trying to think. Oh, we had Tim Crowder in here last week, and he was talking about what Joe Thomas, an offensive tackle, said to him. Hey, man, you're pretty good. You know, keep playing this league. And did Pittsburgh O-linemen say anything to you after the game?
It was one of those games where you greet the team, but you trying to get off the field, so you don't really get to talk to the offensive line much. But, you know, they tell you, you know, keep working hard, Rook. You're going to be all right. You're going to be pretty good, you know. Things
absolutely.
Like that.
Well, you know, some of those guys that play, I mean, I know they got a rookie at center, but, you know, they got a veteran at left tackle, and they're definitely a veteran ball club. They're the 3-0 Steelers. We are the 2-1 Buccaneers going into the bye week. We'll have Cincy at the end of next week. And, of course, don't forget, no Buccaneers game this week. As a matter of fact, Total Access will come on the air tomorrow night. We'll have Mike Williams tomorrow night, and then we'll take Thursday and Friday off. We'll come back with the shows towards that Cincy game. So we'll get you going with the Josh Freeman show next week and stuff. We don't want to get too confused with the scheduling. Just remember, Mike Williams will be on tomorrow. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. Get on the phone line. Talk about how this young football team's doing. We'll get him a chance to weigh in on some of the – as Gerald got a chance to see one of the guys I'm sure you've been practicing against. I want to talk about a player, and then I want to complete LeGarrette Blount. And we got a chance to see him run early on. So we'll talk about some of the younger players, including Aurelius Ben and even Josh Johnson. They got some, as they say, garbage time or cleanup time, good reps for a young football team. We'll talk about some of that when we come back. It's the Gerald McCoy Show. Get on the phone lines. Talk to Gerald right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back to the Gerald McCoy Show. Tuesday night here in Buckland. I'm Ledge from the Buccaneers Radio Network. We're taking your phone calls at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Gerald, every time you say something off the air, you know I'm going to come back right on the air and go right on the air with it. You do know that.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so tell me about the gun range. First of all, first time ever shooting a gun?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, man.
What'd you shoot?
A 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, it could go. You don't think a handgun could shoot like that? But, I mean, it bounced back.
Got a little kick to it, dude?
Yeah. Me and Roy Miller, man. It had a little kick to it. It wasn't much. I mean, if you just relax and shoot, it's okay, but never shot a gun before. But it was fun. I don't like the fact that I like shooting that gun because it was just a lot of fun. But it was fun, though. It was safe. They really make it safe. As long as you shoot in that room, it's safe.
And you got the headphones. You got the goggles on. Right. You got everything. You're all good to go. Right. Is Roy Miller shooting because UCLA whipped Texas's butt? I'm sure. Well, you got to talk about Saturday. I'm picturing you guys, you know, dressing up Sunday morning. And I'm picturing Brian sitting right next to Roy Miller, and all. I'm sure he was giving him a mouthful, huh?
Yeah, he was. He was actually. Brian Price was not saying anything, but we were. We definitely were, and I plan to do a lot more talking this Sunday.
You and Davin?
Yeah. I plan to do a lot more talking this Sunday.
Well, UCLA pretty much mopped the field with Texas in their house, which you don't see that often.
Right.
So that definitely was something worth talking about. You know, we talked about LeGarrette Blount before we went to the break. And, you know, there's a youth movement on this team. Youth comes without the experience. You spent 10 minutes telling me the things you learned in the Pittsburgh game, and now we're starting to decide, you know, we're going to look at some younger legs at this position, a little bit more athleticism at that position, and we're starting to see, I'm not sure about Craig Lumpkin, but we're seeing younger, bigger running backs. You know, obviously it's the other side of the ball for you, but that's got to be pretty exciting for you to see more and more young athletic talent joining this squad. Not just joining because it's already there, but talk about him running the ball.
We were on the sideline going crazy, like, God, keep giving it to him. Just keep giving it to him. I mean, because he would get hit, and his yak yards was just, man.
He had four carries, 6.5 yards, carried 24 yards. His longest was only 12, so it's not like all of it was one run. It was literally like 4, 5, 7, 8 yard runs, but he got hit at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
He got 6 or 7.
He
dragged Troy Polamalu about 6 yards when Troy was hanging onto his ankles.
Right, he did, man. He's a strong guy, real low center of gravity. He's just really strong. And, you know, he was our scout team running back when he first got here, and we could already see it immediately. We was like, we like the way he runs. I mean, we like that. Then you would see, you know, he has good feet. A lot of people, and if you watch the game, just seeing the power. They just seeing power running. He got sweet feet. He really do, man. And he can make some moves. And, you know, you get him out in space, he's good, man.
You went around here when Mike Allstott ran the ball. You know, he came out of Purdue. He was a big running back. Same thing, a big guy with quick feet. A guy can pick him up, put him down. But we also saw a second and third effort at the goal line. When he scored that touchdown, we saw a determined young running back, and obviously he impressed the coach, because yesterday on the coach's show he said that LeGarrette would be our short yardage and goal line back. So that's quite a debut for a young running back.
It is, man, and he wanted to get in the end zone, and he just a lot of determination, man. He's really good.
How many positions did you play on against the Steelers on the D line?
All of them.
Okay. I want to ask you this because somebody asked me this, and I said, that's a pretty good question. The head coach wants to take all his chess pieces, move them around, and find what he's got. So you get a lot of that going on. But a friend of mine said, what if he just learned one position, got real good at that, and then you used him a little later on for other things? So, is it a challenge to you to take that many different positions on this early in your career, do you think? No?
No,
okay,
because
tell me why.
I did it in college, and I did it for 2 years ago. 3 years in college, actually. I could say I moved around a lot my first year playing. My last 2 years in college, I played every position the same way. So doing it here, it's just about doing it at the next level. But, you know, learning to manage all those different positions, it's nothing new to me because I did it in college.
That's Gerald McCoy. It's the Gerald McCoy Show every Tuesday night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hillsboro, it's 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's 2827. I'm trying to remember when I asked you how many sports you played. You didn't play a ton of different sports growing up, right? You basically played, what, hoops and football, right?
Baseball, too.
Oh, baseball, too.
Right.
So
baseball is the reason I wear glasses now.
Really?
To this day.
Tell me.
What happened was I actually was pretty good at baseball. It's a funny story. Me and my sister played baseball and softball. She softball, I was baseball.
She older or younger?
She's older, 2 years older than me. And what used to happen was we played at a field where what would happen is she would be at the field. They were playing, and parents from other teams would come over to watch her game. And everybody was wondering, like, why is everybody coming over here when she was up to bat? Because there was rarely a time where she didn't hit it over the fence. And all the parents wanted to see who this little girl was. Well, when I went to play baseball, the same thing was happening with me. So that's just kind of something we were used to. Well, what happened was I was 12 years old. Yeah.
That's Little 11, League.
11 or 12.
That's Little League, yeah.
12 years old. Killed it for me. I'm going to tell you why. I'm warming up on a new team. It's kind of almost like All-Stars. And I got picked to be on this team, and he got a whole bunch of players together, and we on this team. And I'm warming up. He throws a ball over my head. So I go to pick it up. I turn around, and we had a wild pitcher. They warming up, but he always threw wild pitches. Well, I guess he threw one, and it got loose. I turned around, and bow, right in my left eye, knocked me out cold. Tried to come back and play, got hit in the eye again.
wait, same day?
No. Okay. No, in the same eye.
All right.
And I was like, well, you know what? I probably don't need to be doing this. And I had 20/20 vision before that. After that, I had to wear glasses.
A little cuckoo now. Yeah, a little crooked. They look good on you, though, man.
Thank you.
I'm sure those cost about as much as my truck. It looked nice. All right, let's get to, bye weeks. You know, you have them in college football. You have weeks off. Usually in the pros, you only get one. And sometimes they're a little too soon, a little too early. But coming into this bye week, what is your schedule this week like for you? I mean, compared to what it was the first 3 weeks?
It's the same thing. It's still work. I put on my work boots and come to work every day. And until we get a break, I think I might go watch the OU Texas game, mm-hmm. perhaps, maybe. Not sure yet. But while I'm here, it's all business. It's not a we don't have a game this week, so I could take a day off at practice. No, it's not like that because we just lost. Mm-hmm. So we know how important these next 3 days will be for us. These next 3 days will be very important for us because we're not going to play a mediocre team in Cincinnati either. You know, Cincinnati has superstars. And me being on defense, we have to face Batman and Robin is who they call them. And I have to face one of my – closest friends and old teammate Jermaine Gresham. So, I mean, and one of my, arch enemies and Jordan Shipley.
I like that, arch enemy.
Who
like
made
that.
Me angry every time we played Texas. Not to mention, they have a Pro Bowl quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just saying. But they have a lot of weapons. Cedric Benson.
Heard of him.
Who's coming off a year last year where he had more yards in that 1 year than he had his whole career in
You're
Chicago.
Not going to arm tackle him.
No way. They have too many weapons, so we have to be prepared. You can't take any time, you know. You just can't take it off.
So when you're looking at have you looked at any Cincy film yet?
Not yet.
So let me ask you about your lifting regimen. Does that change during the bye week? Do you do any more lifting, any less
you
lifting?
Yeah, you lift a little bit more. Yeah. You lift just a little bit more, not much, because you're still in season, so you don't want to do anything crazy. But you get a little bit more time to recover, and you lift just a little bit more, a little time to condition.
All right, let's go to Joel. You're up first on the Gerald McCoy Show. Joel, how are you tonight?
Hey, Gerald, how are you tonight?
All right, Joel, how you doing, man?
Doing very good.
Good.
What I want to do is compliment you on how well-spoken you are. You really seem much more mature than your age, which that's a great thing.
Thank you, sir.
Now, obviously, I'm a huge Bucks fan. I've been going to Bucks games since I was a little kid, so for their entire career. And I noticed during the first three games, fortunately, we've done very well. Last game, it seemed like we weren't getting the pressure that we got the first game. And I look at stats and everything, and I noticed that you didn't really show up on the stat sheet in the last game. How is that in terms of, I know you have high expectations for yourself. I know that you have personal goals, but when there's a day where you don't really show up in terms of tackles or sacks and you get graded afterwards, you guys look at films, like, did you get graded out high or were you disappointed that you didn't get any pressure or have any sacks during the game? And last of all, How do you rate your performance so far through three games?
That's a lot of questions.
Good questions.
Yeah,
and
good
I
ones.
Appreciate them.
You got it.
Honestly, that was addressed in meetings, that the pressure needed to go up and it wasn't as strong as it needed to be. And also, that's one of those things where I say we grade ourselves critical. It was real, you know, it was such a nasty feeling watching that on tape because our defense is better than that. We're better than that up front. And I went home after the game and knew I didn't play my best. And if you really care about how you play and not just playing this game for what what you can get from it, not use it as a job, but play the sport that you love with a lot of passion and with all your heart, after something like that, it's going to bother you. But like I said, that's why these 3 days are so important when we practice. You have to know what you did wrong. You have to see it and know what you have to do to change it. Just fix it. You can't, sit on it and
dwell on
just,
it. Yeah.
Just dwell on no it and to. Just, it's week three. Yeah, people lose games. Honestly, were we tied for first in our division?
Mm-hmm.
And who expected us to be there at week three? I mean, you can't dwell on things like that, man. And like I said, you have to take all the positive from everything you see. And going through week three, I've done what I could to help my team. Of course, it's going to look bad coming off a loss, but coming off the last two games where we didn't allow a touchdown in the second half, right, in the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just – you have to look at positive things like that, even if you feel like, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Well, we won. But this time we just were unfortunate and didn't win.
Yeah, what if you've gotten three sacks in a game and still lost?
I mean
– it's not necessarily the measuring stick.
I could say, hey, I had 15 sacks today, but we lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ultimate goal is to win. And as long as we win, I can fix what I do. As long as I'm doing what I have to do within the scheme of the defense, I feel good because that's what I'm here for, is to help the defense. Personal goals, that's fine. But if we win, I'm okay.
Well, we saw like Rondae Barber was all over the field. Cody Grimm, like I said, he lost the ball in that one play. But let me tell you, he blew up a screen play, blew up a wide receiver play. I mean, for a guy playing his first NFL game,
right. He
graded out. I'm not a coach, but I'm saying he was around that field. Let me ask
and
you, there's pride in that D-line.
Right. Coach shouted his praises today, man.
Yeah.
Cody played a magnificent game, but,
He made some great open field tackles.
Let somebody else tell it, and Cody played terrible because he lost the ball in the air, which that could happen to anybody. Cody played great.
You guys have pride. If you guys aren't getting to the quarterback and the coach decides he wants to dial up more blitzes and bring five or six instead of just four, does that make you feel worse? No. It's like you're trying to do things different. Go ahead.
Raheem Morris is a magnificent defensive coordinator. He knows what he's doing. He trusts his D-line. He came and addressed us today and let us know that wasn't good enough. I don't think that was you guys. You guys are way better than that. I've seen it, and I believe that you guys can make the plays that you did make. You think I'm going to lose trust in you because we lost or because we didn't get the pressure that we needed? That means we just need to fix it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what we can do and what we're about. And the young D-line and talent we have up front, he knows that. And he uses it to our advantage for our defense. Sometimes he brings, sometimes it's a three-man rush. Sometimes he brings extra blitzes. That's fine. He's a smart defensive coordinator. He knows what he's doing.
He dropped a lot of eight, and rushed three at certain times.
Right, he knows what he's doing.
He even brought it up in his post-press conference.
We don't question Coach. He knows what he's doing.
Hillsboro, 813-990, Pinellas, 727-461, and 1-800-596-BUCKS. Roger, you're up next on the Gerald McCoy Show. How you doing, Roger?
Good, you?
Excellent. What you got for Gerald?
Mr. McCoy.
Yes.
Welcome to the Buccaneers.
Oh,
friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was so happy watching the draft and you coming in. It was amazing, my friend.
My man, Rod. Appreciate it.
I love college ball, but welcome to the NFL.
Thank you, sir.
So it's a brand new world, right?
It is.
Yeah. But you know what? The first thing came to mind when you came in and I saw your stats and everything, I was looking, and I heard you speaking about Saf earlier, and, you know, you can't take anything from a guy who's an outstanding athlete above and beyond.
Right.
But it goes back to when Buccaneers were number one defense, Culpepper was on one side, Saf was on the other side. And you were talking about arms flailing. Arms never stopped with Warren Saf. Shoulders dipping, hips dipping. The man was an animal. He was either two on Saf or two on Culpepper. Number one defense. My friend, I saw this draft come in with you and our buddy on the other side, and I'm sorry, I'm a loss for names because I'm pretty bad on names.
I think he's talking about Brian Price?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was like, good Lord have mercy, here we go once again. Oh, man, I was so happy.
Well, I appreciate you know, that, Raj.
Pardon me?
I appreciate that. That's what they drafted us for, and that's what we plan to bring back to Tampa.
But you know what? You are an outstanding athlete, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And you're going to bring the game. This is a brand new world for you. It takes it you is. A little bit to figure it out. You know, and you've got the greatest mentors in the world. I'm sorry you didn't have the opportunity to play with Brooks, Lynch, and people of this caliber that this nucleus of this defense of Tampa Bay and what they've done and given back and everything, and you're going to be a part of this. And it just, I am so happy.
Thank you, sir.
To see you here, my friend, you're going to do wonderful things here. You're going to be the brand new Saf, trust me.
I appreciate
it. I think Roger's a smart man.
He is.
Roger's a smart man. You know what? He sees all the ingredients right. cooking in the stew. He does. You know, he sees
and
it.
And I appreciate exactly what he just said, but I have to say there will never be another Saf. I have to say that there will never be another one. I'm going to be me. And Warren Sapp is Warren Sapp. I'll be Gerald McCoy, and I'll do what I can for this team. Do I plan to be a great player? Yes. Would I like to be equivalent to Sapp? Of course. Who wouldn't?
You ain't. No,
but
you
I'm gonna tell
be
you
better.
Now.
Need to be better.
I'm gonna tell you that there'll never be another Warren Sapp.
You know, that's the uniqueness about a player. The skill sets can be similar,
right?
You know, and then you're gonna find what your solid strengths are, and then you are using abuse those on offensive.
Well, I'm gonna tell you one reason why I can't be Warren Sapp. I'm 6'4", almost 6'5", and he was 5'2".
I didn't think you were going to say 5'2". I thought you were going to say about 5'6".
I'm sure that's going to make it on the internet tonight, by the way. You're going to hear about that one.
Yeah, he will let me know about it.
That's the Gerald McCoy Show. We're going to go to Mike. You're up next. Mike, appreciate your phone call.
Hey, Lance. Good to hear you on the air, and good to talk to you, Mr. McCoy.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, that guy was happy at the draft at work. We got a grease board, and we had your picture drawn up there for months saying that's what we need when they draft you. I was like a Sandsburg, a tourist tenderfoot, man. That's how happy I was. But I got a question for you. They keep mentioning Saf, and then every week on the announcers and all, I always say that Saf is mentoring you and all that. I'd like to know just if he is, do you all talk on the phone? Do you break down film together and stuff like that? And I'd like to hear you talking. We're glad to have you here in defense. And our other caller forgot Mr. Miller.
Oh, yeah. One thing he does, like I said, after this game, he sent me a text the next morning on my way home from workouts and film and all that. He sent me a text that told me what I did wrong and how he would have done it and what I need to do to fix it. He's even come down and visited me. I talked to him when I went to NFL Network. He calls me. He does it all, man. He's a great mentor, and it's great to have somebody like that in your corner who knows, and he'll tell you. I mean, everybody knows Saf. He'll tell you who he was to this team and what type of player he was. So he knows, and to know who he was to this league and still be willing to help another guy, another young guy. I mean, it just goes to show he's a really good guy, man.
A lot of that, I bet you, is a little Tony Dungy rubbing off on him.
Oh, because
when Tony came here, He said, you know, you're more than just running out 3 hours on a Sunday. Right. You get involved in the community, mentor. And then when you're done and you hang up the cleats, don't be afraid to reach back to another player right. and do the same thing. So you certainly got a heck of a teacher. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll come back, talk to Gerald McCoy, and we'll get you on the phones. Did you see that Monday night game last night? Have you watched any NFL football? Yeah, come back, talk about that. There's a couple of teams that were throwing it around. 18 penalties for the Green Bay Packers, man. They pretty much handed the Bears that game.
It's crazy.
Can't win like that. 18 penalties in one game.
You got to play smart. One thing Coach always tells us is we got to play smart.
We've been doing good. Now, you know, I'm looking at it every game, and, you know, I'm looking at penalties, and we haven't had even close to double-digit penalties on this football team in games yet. So, and for a young team playing, like he just said, very smart football. We'll come back and do more of the Gerald McCoy Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
All right, welcome back to the Gerald McCoy Show. Taking your phone calls, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 3-1 Bucks, 3-1 Falcons, 3-1 Saints. That was a thriller down there in New Orleans. Their kicker shanked one, and the Atlanta Falcons moved to 2-1, and you're in a three-way tie. You got a chance to watch that game last night at all? Got a chance to watch two quarterbacks with some big, strong arms. We got a big, strong arm quarterback. That Green Bay Bears game, when you get a chance to watch a game, that's why I wanted to ask you about it. Do you get a chance to watch a game just as a fan? Do you ever get sit, or you're constantly going, oh, well, you know, that guy should have done this, and that guy should, you know, this speed rush? And I mean, when you watch a football game,
A while, that's how you watch it.
Yeah.
But you still watch it as a fan. Like, man, I just love the game. But any guy who's played the game and played it long enough, that's just how you watch it. I remember I used to watch football and I used to watch the game. Now I watch the linemen. Mm. I do. I don't even watch like the stars of the team.
You don't follow the ball.
The star is a receiver, whatever. I don't even watch him. I watch the linemen. I mean,
looking for a push one way or the other.
Yeah, a push one way or the other. A good move, a bad footwork, a pancake, whatever. I mean, that's just what I watch. That's what I'm used to.
Well, you seen Julius Peppers last night make a fool out of the right tackle for Green Bay all night long.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be admiring that guy.
He is, man. I told the lineman today, and Ryan Sims, who played with him at North Carolina, told me. I told him. I said, man, I didn't realize how big that guy was. He is huge.
He's gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
he didn't come into the league that big.
Right. Yeah. He's bigger now, but it's like he has no fat on him. He just pure muscle. Like, was he like 6'6", 6'5", 6'6"? He's huge.
Almost 300 pounds.
Yeah.
He's
a big guy, man.
How about like Earl 40, Acker?
42-inch vertical.
Earl Acker. What'd you think of Clay Matthews Jr.? Is he a lot of hype here? Is he just got one gig?
I'm just asking. He is not hype by no means.
He's got a motor, doesn't he?
Man, we watched him on tape, man. He's got a motor. And we were all in there like, gosh, Lee, man, what is going on? And funny thing that happened in practice, Ryan Sims. They needed an extra guy, so he just ran out there. And for crazy, on this certain play, he had to stand up.
Big Ryan Sims
had to stand up. And he came off the edge and made like a little move, and everybody was like, oh! He ran over there to the sideline, and he was like, don't worry about it, guys. I am Clay Matthews right now.
Nice.
So it was pretty funny.
I could picture him with the long flowing hair. That would go over real good.
Right.
Eric in Lakeland, you're up next on the Gerald McCoy Show. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Gerald?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Hey, man, lifelong Bucks fan. You know, really excited to hear your name called that draft night, and looking forward to you know eating up quarterbacks for many years to come in a Bucks uniform.
Oh, thank you, man. I really appreciate that, man. I plan to be here for years upon years and have a great career, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Well, we're all looking forward to it. I've noticed, listening to you a couple times, you took a couple of jabs over on Florida State over Oklahoma putting it to them, and I got a good chuckle out of that because I'm a Gators fan, so I like, you know, seeing the Noles get stomped, but – my question to you was, you know, just this is actually Gator country, not Knoll country. But my question to you is, since you played along with Sam Bradford, now he's a starting quarterback, and you played along with Josh Freeman a little bit, and you faced some quarterbacks here in the NFL. There seems to be a vast amount of opinions on every, opposite end of the spectrum on Tim Tebow. Since you played against Tim in that BCS championship game, what do you think his, his chances are of becoming a successful NFL quarterback?
Tim Tebow's a football player. I'll put it like that. Let's be honest. We're going to be honest here. Since this is the Gerald McCoy show, I can pretty much say what I want, so I'm going to say it. Nobody expected Tim Tebow to go in the first round. Nobody thought he was a professional quarterback.
Drop back, pocket passer.
Nobody thought that. They knew he was a good football player. You can't take anything from him. His sophomore year, he had 50 touchdowns and won the Heisman. Next year, he could have repeated, but there was a guy named Sam Bradford who came and got it. Then he was up a third year for the Heisman. He's a football player. He's one of the greatest players to ever play college football. Has to be in the top five players ever to come through Florida. I mean, he's a great football player. He just has to learn how to be a great quarterback. He's a great football player, but in this league, you have to be a quarterback. And teams need a quarterback. But the good thing about him is his work ethic is second to none. And he works at it, and he works at it, and he works at it until he gets it. And I think eventually he will work his way up because that's just the type of guy he is. And one thing he does have backing him is God.
I was just going to ask you that.
He keeps God in his life. And regardless of what happened, he keeps God in his life. And all you got to do is keep on working and keep on working, and you will get it. So, yes, I think he will eventually become a good quarterback in this league.
If he can't. Do you see him maybe as an H-back, or would he do anything to stay in the league? Do you see that much of a drive?
He was drafted in the first round for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sell
there's,
jerseys.
There's a lot of things where you could say, oh, well, he's going to sell tickets. He's going to sell jerseys, even though already know that he was the number one selling jersey in the NFL. Which was crazy to me. But, hey,
Where are you at? You keeping track of that?
No, he's Tim Tebow. Yeah, I mean, he's Timmy. So he had a Tim Tebow. There was a Tim Tebow jersey in Oklahoma before mine was there. That's why I was like, wow, he must really be the guy. He's going to be a good player wherever they put him. He's going to do something.
And like you said, he's got the foundation that he uses. We'll even get to your foundation a little later in your program, which is one of the hallmarks and cornerstones of your program. We're going to go to Mike. You're up next with Gerald McCoy. Good evening, Mike. What's up?
Not much, man. Hey, Gerald, a big lifelong Sooner fan, born Sooner bred. Just wanted to say excited about what you bring to the table. I had a question for you. I used to play defensive line in high school, and I was wondering what do you do to get into the mindset of your opponent? Like, what gets you amped up before a game? And I'll hang up and I'll listen. But go Sooners!
Oh, appreciate that, man. Boom Sooner. Honestly, man, I have such a passion for this game. I just love to play it, and I'm a huge competitor, so I love to win. So. I try and do anything I can to get the edge of my opponent, and it all starts in the film room with knowing who you're playing. And then once you get the game plan down and you've worked at it all week and you have it down packed, you play with so much more confidence because you know what's coming. You know what type of player this guy is. My personal routine that I do, I read my Bible, and I have a scripture for each week, which I will say later on the show. The night before, I pray. The next morning, I get up, and I turn on some worship music, and I pray. And right before I go out on the field, I humble myself. It's what I call humbling myself. I get on my knees. Not really many people drop to their knees and pray anymore. I mean, you have to humble yourself before the Lord. So I make sure I humble myself, and I pray before I go out on the field. So that's how I get myself amped.
That's your pregame ritual.
That's my pregame ritual. That's what I do.
Now, let me ask you, as far as carbing up, do you eat big meal the night before? I mean, the actual physical ritual, what do you go through? Anything specific? Don't say the drive-thru at McDonald's.
No. something that's just because I did it at Oklahoma.
Sure.
I do it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each team has like team snacks or whatever, and the snack, I mean, it's like universal. It's wings or quesadillas or something like that. I always eat wings the night before, and the next morning I always eat an omelet. That's how I do it. I always eat an omelet, and I get the same thing if they have it in the omelet. You know.
See, that's a ritual. That's like, yeah. You know, the superstitious.
Thing is, I'm not superstitious, but I've been doing it. And one thing I do try to do, I try to eat 4 hours before the game. 4 hours before the game. I did that at Oklahoma. That's how Coach Stoops did it. We always ate 4 hours before the game. So I try to do that here. So I 1 o'clock game. You know, I get up. Mm-hmm. I get up. And I get ready. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I get there. You know, but I try and eat 4 hours before the game.
Gerald McCoy Show, 1-800-596-BUCKS or Hillsborough 813-990-4620-727 461-4620. You know, Cincinnati's a little too far away to talk about the X's and O's, and we'll actually we'll do that. Like I said, next week when we have Josh Freeman sit down, we'll kind of take a break from our Buccaneer shows starting this Thursday and Friday, going into the bye week. So what is your week going to be like next week? Are you right back to the regular schedule on Monday, right. Tuesday, Wednesday? Just run it down real quick. Monday off?
Monday off.
Okay.
Then it goes back to regular from there.
Okay. So Tuesday is?
Tuesday, it's usually Tuesday off. And yep. Then Wednesday, Thursday, we wear uppers, which is just shoulder pads, helmet. Friday, we just wear helmet and Saturday walkthrough. So I'm pretty sure it'll just be pushed back a little bit.
Okay. And do you think you'll still be at the Trop next week? There were some things you were doing. You were doing some practicing and air conditioning, or is now?
I'm not sure yet. We haven't received our schedule, but, you know, Coach Raheem Morris is a great coach. I'm sure he'll get it all worked out.
Well, you mentioned your faith. Why don't we say we come back and you can tell us what your motivation will be and what you got from the good book this week when we come
Definitely.
Back. All right, Gerald McCoy Show coming back. We'll do it. Don't forget, tomorrow night we are on Buccaneers Total Access, and we've heard a lot about him, and we've talked a lot about him. Mike Williams, of course, the leading wide receiver on this team, the rookie out of Syracuse. We'll sit down for a whole hour tomorrow night, pick his brain a little bit. He's like you. A lot of guys with big smiles on this team.
Yeah.
Big, friendly smiles. You got a big, friendly smile. He does. I asked Tim Crowder, and he said he has a better smile than Rondé. You think you got a better smile than Tim Crowder and Rondé? Coming back with more of the Gerald McCoy Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, guys, welcome back. It is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Sometimes on radio, when people walk in wearing cool stuff, you know, it's hard to translate on the radio. So I want you to describe that shirt that you're wearing and why you're wearing it.
Well, I have a teammate who is actually an entrepreneur, and
you have plenty of entrepreneurial teammates. Yeah,
and one of them is Styles G. White, and he has these shirts that he's been, and it's for a charity, it's for a good cause, but you know. Everybody knows how Styles is. He changed his name from Greg to Styles. So, you know, he came in promoting it. And the shirt basically says, live dormant, die enormous. And from my understanding, what he says it means is to live dormant is to live normal, sleepy, or you can die enormous to become legendary, never give up. And it has a chest pawn on it. And,
on the front.
Where
it says live dormant.
Where it says live dormant. And then on the back, it has a crown pawn. And basically what Styles told me is the crown is, you know, your status, it changes. So really what you're supposed to do is you remain who you are. No matter how big you get, you stay true to yourself. And that's basically what this shirt means. And you can get more of an understanding on it. He has a website, and it's on the shirt. It's www.juststyles.com. So go check that out, and that is Styles G. White's.
What is that, triple XL, double XL? What is that?
It's actually a 2X.
You're all ripped up in that, though, too, dude.
Makes you look big.
All flexed,
nice material.
All flexed out, the guns are.
Nice material, yeah.
Nice and cool?
Yes.
All right.
All right, now let's get back to something you started last week. I'm going to make this a regular part of your show. You said,
definitely.
You said you get your inspiration from the good book, and last week you read a verse, and you said you told us how you apply that verse to your whatever, your regiment, your studies, the actual game. So take it from there, and we'll go to this week.
Each week, like you said, I have a scripture for the week. Last week, the scripture was Jeremiah 17:7, and it simply said, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." And that was my scripture for last week going into this game, wanting to be 3-0. I put my confidence in the Lord, and it says, "I'll bless the man who trusts in me." Well, we didn't win. So people want to say, well, so much for that scripture. No, I'm going to tell you why not. Because going into this week, you're going to face some, you know, adversity. We have a bye week, and certain things happen, and a lot of people can say, oh, well, they got arrogant, or they won two games, or blah, 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 blah. That's not how it was. So, like I said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. My scriptures for this week, I have two. One is Ecclesiastes 7:14, and it says, when times are good, you should be cheerful. When times are bad, think of what it means. God makes them both to keep us from knowing what will happen next. So when good things happen, yes, be happy. But when bad things happen, don't always get down. Wonder what is going on and what really, you know, how will you react? You never know what God's plan is. So the scripture to go along with that is, now remember I told you to trust in the Lord. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. The next scripture is Psalms 37:23-24. 23 says, if you do what the Lord wants, he will make certain each step you take is sure. So God is saying, I'll bless you if you trust in me.
Stay the path.
I'll bless you if you trust in me. And this scripture says, do what the Lord wants, and he'll make sure each of your steps are sure, meaning he will guide your steps. The next scripture says, now, we just lost, right? But I went into this game trusting in the Lord, and he said he'll bless me. And the next scripture said, do what the Lord wants, and he'll guide your steps. This scripture says, the Lord will hold your hand, and if you stumble, you still won't fall. We lost, yes, but that's a stumble. But by believing in the Lord and trusting in him, he's going to bless us. He's guiding our steps, and regardless of how much we stumble, trusting in the Lord, he won't let you fall. So those are my scriptures for this week, and that's kind of how I do things. Whatever I'm facing that week or whatever's going on, I try, and there's nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. And, you know, I just revert back to the Word, and it always helps me get through.
You get the head coach that we see publicly up on – you know, up on the podium, he has to address the media after a loss. What has Raheem Morris been like this week after the first loss to the Buccaneers? You know, because you're using God as your guidance.
Right.
Now we'll shrink it down to the team and say, what's your head coach been like this week?
Oh, if you think he was fiery before, you should see him now. Oh, he – what? We lost? So what? Now let's see what we do. Let's see how we bounce back. That's going to define us. How we bounce back as a team. Oh, you think he's lost confidence in us? No way. He has more confidence in us now than he ever did before. Because if you go watch film, all the people seen was what happened on TV, or if you watch the game in
three,
person, you've seen that.
That's all you keep seeing that. Over and over again.
Man, there was six plays we found. Six plays could change that whole game. Out of 49 snaps on defense, six plays could change the whole game around. And me and you on the show name two or three. Cody, he
– a kid. Cody, Sammy Strother catching a little flat pass,
Sammy,
that went the other way.
I mean, there's like little things. And if you watch the film we watched, we were all playing hard. One thing you cannot say we didn't do is play hard, and we didn't give up. We never did. We kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting. And our coach, he showed us that, and that doesn't do anything but give us more confidence. So now we're ready to roll.
Well said, man. You got a coaching future.
Yeah.
A long, 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 yeah, long way down
long
the road.
Time,
way
man.
Down the road.
Got a long career football ahead of me.
All right. Well, I'm not sure what you're going to be eating. I'm sure it's you going to do an omelet this Sunday just to keep the routine going?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Good show, man. Good show. Yeah,
appreciate it, man.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks and after the Cincinnati show. Don't forget, like I said, we will have Mike Williams on tomorrow night for Buccaneers Total Access. You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a great night, everybody, right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.